They do a good job with that. Thank you guys so much. Well, here are the titles of some sermons that have been or are being preached on Mother's Day. The Ideal Woman, The Miracle Mom, The Secret of the Ideal Mother. Shh, it's a secret. The Beautiful, the Bold, and the Courageous. Happy Honeys. Now, besides presenting what are probably undoubtedly unrealistic visions of true motherhood, true womanhood, all of these have one thing in common. They're all written by men, right? Right? In the Christian world, most of the Christian world, women are barred from serving as priests or pastors. So most of the Mother's Day sermons that are given today are being given by men. Men telling women how to be mothers. Yeah. Guy was walking along the beach, comes across a lantern. He picks it up and he rubs his lamp. Genie pops out. Genie says, "You get one wish." Guy says, "Wait, I'm supposed to get three wishes." Genie says, "This is real life. It's not fantasy. You get one wish." So the guy says, "Well, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid of flying. So how about building a bridge from here to Hawaii and I'll drive across?" And Genie says, "Are you nuts? That's impossible. Just think how deep the supports would have to go into the Pacific. That can't. Wish for something else." Guy says, "Well, I've never been married. I date women, but they say I'm uncaring and insensitive. So make it so that I can understand the mind of a woman and her emotions." And the genie says, "You want two lanes or four on that bridge?" My parents' pastor and his wife always head to Delaware for Mother's Day. Their mothers are in Delaware, and they spend time with them, which means that every year on Mother's Day, one of his associate pastors has to give the Mother's Day sermon. And Mom said that one of them is not very good, and people often stay home when they know that he's going to be preaching, as he is, she said, today. And I thought two things about that. I said, first of all, that is pretty cruel to make a guy who's not very good at preaching always preach the Mother's Day sermon. And the second thing I thought is, I wonder if I can get Richard to do this every year. it's tough, right? I mean, I've never had the experience of carrying life, you know, and then pushing it forth from my loins or anything like that. And I've heard all the metaphors that you women use about, you know, men passing watermelons and whatever and stuff, you know, and that if men had to bear babies and the human race would be extinct because they couldn't handle the pain. I hear it and I get it, you know. And it's all true. It's all absolutely true. But then the other thing is that there's just so many scripture passages that you can use. And after your first 5 years in the ministry, you've pretty much used them all up. And so you're forced to either do retreads or take other scriptures and try to stretch them to kind of sort of fit a Mother's Day message. Now, the one scripture I will not use, I spoke about this a couple years ago. The one I will not use is Proverbs 31, variously called the ideal woman or the ideal wife. There's even a movement out there among women called the Proverbs 31 woman, which basically idealizes the vision of womanhood and motherhood that existed in the suburbs after World War II. It didn't exist prior to World War II, and it's pretty much inaccessible to any family that's not at least upper middle class. So if you take some time to read through Proverbs 31, you'll see that this whole movement is lifting up an ideal of motherhood that's inaccessible to the majority of women in our churches. And like I said, if you take a look at Proverbs 31, in the most pertinent part, verses 10 through 29, you'll notice, if you really pay attention, it's not speaking about any normal peasant woman back in the day. This is a rich woman it's talking about. living in a household that's got servants that serve imported food, rich food. She's got money enough to buy a field and plant a vineyard and sell the wine. And she wears fine clothes and makes fine clothes and sells them in the marketplace. She runs a business. This is no peasant woman in 3rd century B.C. Israel. But the main thing is that if you really look at it, it's not written. It's written to a son by his mother. All right, and basically, if you look at verses 1-3 of Proverbs 31, she says right out. All right, son, don't ever marry. Don't do it. There is no woman good enough for you. But if you have to, here's the kind of woman you should marry. And then she writes this unrealistic job description that nobody's going to be able to fill. But don't forget, this description is written by a mother saying to her son, no, don't do it. You know? So if I were a woman having to listen to Proverbs 31 every Mother's Day, I might be a little resentful, right? You know, this idealized, unrealistic woman being held up as the ideal for us to pursue, you know. And then there are a lot of sermons that use the Virgin Mary as another example for y'all. That's a good one, right? We need y'all to act like the mother of the Son of God. That's basically the standard that you're rising for. It'd be like Pam holding up an issue of, you know, men's health, you know, with some 25-year-old guy without a shirt and no hair on his chest, you know, and abs and looking at me and going, you need to do more crunches, son, you know, or making me go to some movie where Tom Cruise looks at Renee Zellweger and says, you complete me. And she looks at me and going, why don't you be like that, you know? And I say, because that's just stupid. I say that on the inside, all right? But to hold this up, I mean, just really, we all need to give ourselves a break. And that's essentially what I want to say to women and mothers today, is to give yourself a break. Don't hold yourself up to some impossible standard. The slogan for the Kit Kat bar, give me a break. Well, that's what we're saying to you guys today. You know, we're saying give yourself a break. Let me put two verses together for you that normally don't go together. One's a very obscure verse, partly because people just skip over it because they don't understand what Paul was saying. And one is a very popular verse. But bringing these two together, I think can be interesting. The first is 1 Timothy 2:15, where Paul says a rather curious thing. He says that a woman will be saved through childbearing. Now, that sounds very exclusive. You know, if you're not a mother, if you've never had a child, then what does that mean to you? And oftentimes in the context, we read that almost as a curse. Now, in Genesis 3, it says that part of the punishment for the fall is that a woman experienced pain in childbirth. But Paul isn't talking about punishment here. He's saying that the kingdom of God is going to be comprised of people who, as a normal course of their living, bring forth life and not death. And that's exactly what a woman does quite literally in childbirth. She's bringing forth life into the kingdom of God rather than bringing forth the forces of death. And hold that thought in mind as we read the next verse, Ephesians 2:8. This is the one most of us know. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. And if there's a connection between salvation and childbirth, that connection is grace. It's grace. To be a mother, to be a parent, to be a human takes grace. There's a lot of forgiveness involved. Because there is no such thing as the ideal mother. There is no such thing as the ideal father. There is no such thing as the ideal child. Now, I know some of you have ideal grandchildren. There may be a possibility of that. But there's no such thing as the ideal child or ideal mother. Perfection is impossible. But not only that, it's not even expected. It's not expected of you. You don't have to be the perfect mother. It's also not necessary. There are plenty of good kids that have come from imperfect mother, because what kind of mother is there? What other kind of mother is there? There's only imperfect mothers. Being the perfect mother isn't expected and it isn't necessary. What is expected, what is necessary, is grace and forgiveness. In fact, the greatest gift that you can give to your children are those two things. They go hand in hand, of course. Grace and forgiveness. To give to them not just the head knowledge, but through the way that you live their lives, the knowledge that they don't have to do anything to be loved completely by you. They don't have to be anything in order to be loved completely by you, other than just being what they are. The greatest gift you can give to a child is the freedom to be who they are without the false expectation of being perfect. That they're loved and accepted just as they are. But grace and forgiveness toward your children is not the only necessary thing. There are two other directions that grace and forgiveness need to go to. And these, in some ways, are harder. First of all, you have to show grace and forgiveness toward your own mother. For some, this is pretty easy. Whether they're alive or they've passed on and gone to be with the Lord, this one, for some people, is easy. My mother wasn't perfect, but she still isn't perfect. There are undoubtedly some things that she should have done, could have done differently in raising me and my brothers. But you know what? She's a good woman and she's a good mother, and I don't hold any ill feelings at all for her. But some of you can't say the same thing. Some of your mothers were distant. Some of them were absent. Some of them were mean, even cruel. Some of them are maddening and they drive you crazy to this day. And your task, for her sake and for yours, is to find the grace to forgive her. And just accept her for the woman and the mother that she is. See, there can be no real relationship without grace. So some of you have got some work that you need to do. But that's not all. The third and other final direction for that grace and for that forgiveness is toward yourself. You need to give yourself some grace. You need to forgive yourself, to cut yourself some slack, to give yourself a break. No one expects you to be a Proverbs 31 mother. And if they do, that's their problem. But you shouldn't expect it. And if you expect it of yourself, give yourself a break. You can't do it all. And you are going to make mistakes. You already have made mistakes. But the task of the human is to learn to forgive. That's our number one task, and it's a hard one. God puts us in relationships, plenty of relationships in which lots of forgiveness is required. So that's your job. To forgive your children for not being perfect, to forgive your mother for not being perfect, and forgive yourself for not being perfect. Because you can beat yourself up and do no one any good. or you can live with the lightness that only comes when you let grace have its full way in your life. So we're about done this morning. I don't have a whole lot more that I can say, but I want to leave you with the words of a woman on Mother's Day. All right? Enough with the men's words. Because I think you deserve to hear this morning from someone who knows what it's like to be a woman, knows what it's like to be mother. So this is from an author and writer named Ann Voskamp. She's the mother of six, so she's got some experience with this. And so I'm just going to read it to you. And this will be my, hopefully you'll consider it a gift. She writes, "Why Mother's Day is for the birds." And she starts off, she says, "Because I ain't no Hallmark mother." And none of us is, if we're really truth-telling here. If we're honest, and what else is there, really? There were burnt dinners and yelling mornings and neck-straining words over lost shoes and scattered Legos and unfinished homework, and there were crumpled tears behind bathroom doors, not to mention the frozen pizzas and no clean underwear and the wild words no one would want the cameras rolling for. And the realization that a mother's labor and delivery never ends, and you never stop having to remember to breathe. I became a mother on the eve of Mother's Day, the Saturday before the Sunday, at the oblivious age of 21. And just 7 days after, I'd dropped my own fragile mama off at a locked psych ward. That Mother's Day eve babe, he turns 19 this year. And there's no point kidding anyone. We're all a bit crazy. The deal is, motherhood isn't sainthood, and we're all a bunch of sinners here, and don't let anyone tell you anything different. Pushing something out of your womb doesn't make you a better woman. Real womanhood isn't a function of becoming a great mother, but of being loved by your great father. Someone write that on a card with a bouquet of flowers. We all need that. We all need that for the days that we hated our mothers or hated being a mother. When no room was big enough to find peace and no clock could tick fast enough to just get the day over with. And the truth is, facades only end up suffocating us all. And it's only telling the truth that lets you breathe. And there really were days that felt pretty bad and looked pretty ugly. And maybe that's what it really was. Maybe the days were pretty and ugly. Pretty. Ugly. The ugly beautiful of reality and love and humanity and what it means to become real. That was what was happening to the stacks of dishes and Everests of laundry and the tantrums of toddlers and teenagers and tired mamas and all the scuffed up walls down the hall and through the heart. They were all wearing down the plastic of pride, wearing us down to the real wood of grace and the cross. It really is okay to lose it and be found, to be rubbed the wrong way, to become the rightest way, to let all the hard times rub you down to real. That's just the pretty ugly of us. We're not the Hallmark mother, just the Velveteen mothers. The Velveteen mothers who know when there is a volley of words and weary silences afterwards and everything looks impossibly wrecked. The angular hard edges of perfection are being sanded down by all of our scrapes and falls till we're round and soft and can get close enough to each other to just hold each other. Only when you're broken are you tender enough to wrap yourself around anyone. Only the broken people can really embrace. And that's us. Could we just really hold on to each other? Find each other and hold on to each other and offer the hug of the broken who know the relief that homemaking is about. Making a home, not perfection. That motherhood is a hallowed space because children aren't commonplace. That anyone who fosters dreams and labors prayer is a mother to the child in all of us. will be the holding on broken who know that it's not that we won't blow it, but it's what we'll do with it afterwards. Whose priorities aren't things that get us noticed, but priorities are all things unseen. Who keep praying to only speak words that make souls stronger and keep getting up when we fall down, because this is always how things just fall together. So just let them sell their truckloads of perfect Mother's Day cards. There's far more velveteen mothers who are broken into real and worn into beauty, who have busted the balloon of better homes, gardens, and women, and lived the gospel of grace. And we're done with perfection because we're the everyday prodigals who are wasteful in love and extravagant in grace and recklessly spending our attention on the mercies of the prodigal God. God wants prodigal parents, not perfect parents. Lavish in love, extravagant in truth, big spenders of grace. There will be cake this weekend and we will eat it too. And there will be tears and there will be laughter, because what messes our life up most is the expectation of what our life was supposed to look like. And there will be a mess of dishes in the sink and a ring of grime on the bathtub, and the clock will just keep on ticking, and we'll grab on to someone right in the kitchen and just hold on and let go. It won't be perfect, but we'll be prodigals. Because count on it, Mother's Day is for the birds. We who are flying on the wings of His grace and of prayer. Isn't that good? No man could have written that. So that's my gift to y'all today. Let's pray. I want to give y'all a little bit of time this morning as we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. To maybe do some of that work I referenced just a little bit ago. The forgiving your kids for not being the kids you thought they should be, rather than being grateful for the kids that they are and becoming. And think of your mothers. And think of any unfinished business that there might be between you and her. Take the daring trek to that really, really hurt place in your heart that you've allowed to stay there for so long. And allow grace to come in and wash it away. And just say to her now, Mom, I forgive you. And I'm grateful for you. And then do the work of giving yourself grace. Of accepting the fact that you can't do it all. Then accepting the wonderful grace of knowing that you don't need to do it all. Forgiving yourself of the times you've been too busy, too hurried, too short-tempered, too impatient. Or the time that something else was bothering you and you took it out on your kids. And find grace in the knowledge that you're not the only one who's ever done that, and you're not going to be the only one who ever will. This is the work of life. This is the work of being human. This is the work of becoming like Christ. You are not there yet, but He'll take you there. So give yourself a break and cut yourself some slack. And allow grace to do its work in you. Father, do your work in us. This work of grace, this work of forgiveness, we can't do it on our own. If we could, we'd have done it. But it's all too easy to fall back into old patterns, to react. But I thank, Father, that we don't have to do it on our own. That you have promised that you will give to us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to encourage us to do things that we didn't think we could do. May all of our lives, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, may all of our lives be characterized by this grace that you have shown to us and loving us all the way and never stopping. No matter our sin, no matter our ignorance, no matter our rebellion. May today, O Lord, our lives be characterized by your grace. And everybody agreed and said together, Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn.